Blog Talk Radio.
We do it every night.
Every night. I live alone, but I still do it every night.
Right after dinner.
Definitely after meatloaf.
Like clockwork.
Do it. Run your dishwasher with Cascade Platinum and save water. Did you know an Energy Star certified dishwasher uses less than 4 gallons per cycle, while a running sink uses that every 2 minutes? That means even small loads can save water. So why not do it? Run your dishwasher every night with Cascade Platinum, the surprising way to save water.
Hey everybody, this is your girl Chinchilla Jonesia, aka Chinchilla J, and welcome to another segment of News Forum. Tonight is Sunday, January 16th, 2022. Tonight we will be discussing that big word that most people are afraid to discuss. They tend to shy away from it. But why? It's happening all over this country. And that is gentrification. Gentrification, people. It's happening. And it's probably happening in areas that each and every one of you listening tonight live in. Or you definitely know someone who it is definitely affecting. While gentrification exists everywhere now, some people are mad as hell, while others are happy as hell. Which are you? I want to know tonight, and so does my listeners. So, dial 516-453-9133 if you're listening tonight via the World Wide Web and would like to share your story, your thoughts, your feelings when it comes to gentrification. Already listening via phone? Press 1 so that we may hear what you have to say about this horrible 12-letter word called gentrification. Tonight we will hear from various communities around this country, communities in Philadelphia, Boston, Atlanta, as well as other large inner cities in this country that are being gentrified. Have your politicians lied in neighborhoods that are being gentrified? Well, is it because they have been bought, paid off to look the other way and told they better not have anything to say? Well, that's happening too. And it's happening all over this country, in every area that gentrification is taking place. We're going to dive deep tonight into this thing called gentrification. So, don't you dare go nowhere. Keep it right there. News Forum with your girl Chinchilla J. We'll be right back after this. The United States Supreme Court on Thursday blocked the Biden administration from enforcing its sweeping vaccine or test requirements for large private companies, but allowed a vaccine mandate to stand for medical facilities that take Medicare or Medicaid payments. The ruling came 3 days after the Occupational Safety and Health Administration's emergency measure for businesses started to take effect. The mandate required that workers at businesses with 100 or more employees get vaccinated or submit a negative COVID test weekly to enter the workforce. It also required unvaccinated workers to wear masks indoors at work. Although Congress has indisputably given OSHA the power to regulate occupational dangers, it has not given that agency the power to regulate public health more broadly. The court wrote this: requiring the vaccination of 84 million Americans selected simply because they work for employers with more than 100 employees certainly falls in the latter category, the court wrote. So, Mr. Biden, you will not get to play dictator this time. I am Chinchilla Jonesia reporting News Forum. Tonight we will also be talking about exoneration, compensation in Pennsylvania. We will revisit that tonight as well, because as you already know, those of you that listen to the show, Pennsylvania is one of 13 states that do not compensate the men and women that they have wrongfully convicted and incarcerated and now have exonerated. They don't give them a cent. And it's high time that that changes in Pennsylvania. And we're working hard to get that done, because Pennsylvania needs to right the wrong. Gentrification takes place each and every day throughout this country. Who should the community residents be angry with when it's allowed to happen, even when they don't welcome it and they don't want it? Who should they be angry with? The developers? The realtors? Or the city officials? Perhaps all three. But tonight, we want to know, what do you think? Who do you think they should be mad at? Who are you upset with? Are you upset with your city official, the developer, or the realtor? Who? Or the community itself for not standing up and fighting for what is right in their community? Tonight, it's an open forum on gentrification right here on News Forum with Chinchilla J. Does your city council person support his or her constituents, or have they been bought? Tell us about it. Most times when we talk about gentrification, we usually hear from residents in the community that's being affected by the new development. Rarely do we hear it from a developer's perspective or a realtor's outlook. What are the benefits? What are the dangers? What are the effects and effects of gentrifying neighborhoods? Let's weigh the pros and cons. Does the good outweigh the bad? What are your thoughts? You can let us know tonight right here on News Forum by pressing 1. News Forum is a syndicated radio program with over 12.5 million listeners worldwide. News Forum is brought to you by the ONE Network and Looking Glass Entertainment. Investigative reporter Cynthia Jomesia is host and anchor of News Forum. News Forum broadcasts live each and every Sunday night at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time and brings to you the most controversial topics in America. Do you have a topic that you would like addressed on News Forum? Would you like to be a guest on News Forum? Give Chinchilla J a call Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. at 844-642-8378, extension 888. Again, that number is 844-642-8378. Speak up, speak out, and be a voice. Throughout this country, many city and state officials and politicians have unfortunately been paid to look the other way when it comes to developers building in communities, often communities and neighborhoods they grew up in, leaving their constituents feeling hopeless. If you've experienced this type of treatment, we definitely need you to press 1 tonight to tell us about it. After all, city officials are paid by you. They're voted in office by you. And it's their duty to support you. But have they? Or have they just turned the other way with nothing to say because a developer gave them a hefty payday? Now here she is, host of News Forum, Chinchilla J.
All right, we hope Chinchilla J is there. Of course, this is former News Forum host, Mr. Oladski.
I'm here. Hello.
There she goes. There she
hello,
goes.
Hello.
I'm about to do the show for you. All right, let's get to it.
I don't know why you couldn't hear me. Okay. Hey, everybody. It's your girl, Chinchilla J. Welcome to another segment of News Forum. Tonight, we are going to be talking about gentrification. It is such I don't want to say a hot topic, but it's definitely spreading all over this country. It has been now for the past 10 or so years, but, you know, in different parts of the country, it's more prevalent than others, especially within large inner cities such as Philadelphia, Atlanta, Tulsa, Boston. It's just all over the place, and also in Chicago, and just about every inner city that's a major one, you will see gentrification taking place. They're constantly gentrifying these areas, and you will see it in areas that are easily accessible to like their center city, their downtown areas, their business areas, and things like that, where people are moving back into those areas now that left those areas and went to the suburbs and other areas, and now they're coming back because of these developers developing in these inner cities. And so we have all of the, and I'm just going to say it, all of the white people now, they're coming back into those communities, because they're making it easily accessible for them to commute via bicycle or walk. And, you know, and so this is what's happening in this country. And it is actually pushing out people of color in those communities that have been there for decades upon decades. Now they're being pushed out. There have been so many people that have been displaced. A lot of seniors, elderly people have lost their homes due to tax increases, while here in the city of Philadelphia, the people that purchase these new developments, they are given a 10-year tax abatement where they do not have to pay any property taxes for 10 years. And, you know, some of them, they'll come, they will stay for those 10 years, and then they will move. They will sell their home. And then you have developers that are building, like, some of them I want to call high-rises, because to me, like, in different areas of South Philadelphia, most of the properties are two-story single-family dwellings. So when a developer comes into those areas such as that, and they start to build five-story apartments, hey, that's just too much. And then on top of that, a rooftop deck and everything, you know, that's way too much. And to build a 4- and 5-story apartment building with 50-plus units in it, that's way too much for a residential area. And it poses a great problem. And so this is what I've been hearing from so many people in the Philadelphia area, from people in Chicago, from people in Atlanta, in different parts of this country who are experiencing the same problems and have the same concerns. Now, everyone is not opposed to gentrifying these communities, especially the people that want to move back into these communities. And we're going to talk with different people around the country tonight to get their viewpoints and what they feel. How do you feel? And you're welcome to press 1 at any time, and we will do our best to get to you tonight so that you can express yourself. And it's just something that people need to discuss. And what really frustrates me is the fact that there are people in these communities that have been there for a long, long, long time, and yet They just sit by and watch, and they don't want to fight. They don't want to do anything to try to prevent developers from building in their communities. But yet, they criticize it, they complain and mope about and, you know, want to just sit around and talk about it, but they don't want to do anything about it. So, as I like to say, don't talk about it, be about it, okay? Either you're going to put up or you're going to shut up. So I don't like to hear people complaining, and that's all they do, and they don't want to get off there, do nothing, and do something. So it's time to come together in your communities and fight for your rights, you know, fight for what's yours, and stop allowing developers to come into your communities and just take over. Because what's happening when these areas and these communities are gentrified, it's, again, pushing out the people in that community. And there's a lady, Tiffany Green, and she may be calling in tonight. She calls it ethnic cleansing, which I thought was so cute. So don't allow ethnic cleansing to continue to take place in your communities, okay? Because that's what's happening when all of the people of color are being pushed out. And now you may have a community that, say, for instance, your community had 5,000 residents. And now all those 5,000 residents, maybe, say for instance, 4,500 of those residents were Black. Now that area has been gentrified and it has pushed out so many Black families. And now, instead of it being 4,500 Blacks there, now it's only 1,000. Wow, isn't that something? And this is what takes place. And some areas is even worse than that, okay? And it's just not right. It is not right at all. So we're going to get started with these conversations tonight because it's just so horrid. And before we get into that, let me just quickly give you guys a brief update on the coronavirus, on COVID-19. And as you guys know, okay, as was stated in the beginning, that the Supreme Court did stomp on Biden, okay? So he won't be able to dictate right now. And that's a good thing. All right. But anyway, the United States of America, we are still the epicenter for this coronavirus pandemic with the most infections and the most deaths, 66,995,533 infections, and we have 873,564 coronavirus deaths. It's such a shame. Worldwide cases, 328,675,541. Worldwide deaths, 5,557,594. Today is Sunday. And guess what? New cases today, just today alone, worldwide, 1,939,895 new infections. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. Jeez. It's crazy. The top 10 countries out of 222 infected countries worldwide are as follows. United States is number one. Then it's India, Brazil, United Kingdom, France, Russia, Turkey, Italy, Spain, and Germany make up the top 10 countries with the most infections. Oh, boy. And Philadelphia, please get it together. You know, that's where I am. And... Jeez, the infections here are just through the roof with people doing crazy stuff every day. And, you know, well, we have to say it's been this way, you know, for the longest time, ever since the beginning of the pandemic. You know, Philadelphia has been the epicenter here in Pennsylvania. And it's so very sad that, you know, people just are still doing stupid things, like all these bars that are still open and, oh, my God, and it's just so sad and so pathetic. But Philadelphia has 277,659 infections, The state of Pennsylvania, 2,458,722 and climbing. But anyway, that's it for now for this coronavirus update. But Omicron is still doing its thing. And, you know, and I can bet you by golly wow that within the next couple of weeks, we're going to have a new variant. And there are going to be a few more to come. And they're going to continue to push out these variants to try to instill that fear in the rest of you who have not yet been vaccinated. And but hold your ground. Hold your ground. Don't be don't let fear set in, because these vaccines, they're not preventing people from getting COVID. They're not preventing them from dying, because there have been thousands of people around this country infected who have been vaccinated, double vaccinated, booster, shot it up, and still have the virus, and still some have died. So anyway, that's it right now for the coronavirus. And what I want to do right now, I want to bring on Brother Hooney, who is going to be, co-hosting with me tonight. So we're going to bring on Brother Hooney, who is a host on this network as well. And we're going to talk to him for a bit, and then we're going to bring on one of our guests, who's a man from Texas tonight. And we're going to talk to him. From Oklahoma. We're going to bring Oklahoma in on. But anyway, let's talk to Brother Hooney tonight. Brother Hooney, how are you? Okay, Brother Hooney.
All right, so I don't know what's going on with our lines tonight. People need to hear when they're on the line there. Brother Hooney, you there? All right, got our anchor, and then I got our guest host. Come on, guys. Let's get it together. Come on, let's get it.
Hey, I'm here. How you doing?
Hey,
peace and abundant divine blessings.
I'm good.
How are you doing,
Brother Hooney?
All right, sorry you couldn't hear me. I was adjusting my microphone, but can you hear me loud and clear?
I can hear you now. Yes, I can. How are you?
Okay. I'm doing excellent. Thank you so much for the invitation. You know, I enjoyed the opening that you spoke about gentrification. But, you know, one of the main issues I noticed, even though we're living in, according to this calendar year that we're in 2022, right?
Yeah.
But with all things, views about anything, you need to go back to the beginning, the so-called root. Okay? You feeling me so far?
Yeah.
And the root of where all of this begins and why this gentrification is taking place nowadays. Okay? And the truth of the matter is it was right in our Holy Scriptures the whole time. If you open up the Bible and you look at Bereshith, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, right? It speaks about man having dominion. And when it says man, it's speaking about man and woman now. Make no mistake about it. And the God, according to the Bible, gave man and his wife, or man and woman, dominion over all things. That's what it says back there in the beginning, right? And for some reason, if you look at all the things that had took place with the original people of this planet Earth, you know, people of color all over this planet, right? We was there in the beginning. And all of these things was under and placed under our feet first, from the wealth of the gold, the diamonds, the oil, everything that you could imagine that the world is funded, that's using. You understand, sucking up the oil out of the Mother Earth, including right over here in America. That's where it begins at. And chinchilla, you know, through a sudden case of amnesia, you got a lot of us forget that. A lot of people don't even have faith in it. But the bottom line is, bringing it back up to today's standards, one of the things that have been breeded and literally beat out of African Americans in particular, for them not wanting to take ownership of where they live at, ownership of their own bodies, ownership of their own thoughts, ownership of their own history, ownership of their own version of everything. And that's all the elements that made it easier for them to come in, right, and just buy up the neighborhoods. And trust me, even though the media and the devil would have people to believe that all of these crimes and stuff like that is just because, you know, these people are just a whole bunch of devils, and they're idiots, they're stupid, they hate themselves and each other. This is what the media would have you believe. But here's where the trick comes in at, right? So after all of the gangs go to war with each other and all of this senseless killing, right, they're not able to control that. So when these people are either dead from all of these gang wars, right, that's bringing our neighborhoods down, right, or the so-called killer get ran off to prison or somewhere, right, all of a sudden, what happens? They come in the neighborhood, build it back up, and people don't see the master plan that has been in effect for such a long time. This is why it has been important for us to control our own communities. We can do it. We did it before. And I'm going to say this right quick, then I'm going to put it on hold. Long before integration, I don't care if people listen to this, like this or not. Long before integration, we had no choice but to depend on ourselves and each other. You had no choice but to go to that mechanic that was skillful, not that he had to go to somebody's so-called school to get degrees. I'm talking about people that was able to look at a car and take it apart from bumper to bumper, inside and out. Before integration, we had no choice because we couldn't go to the hospitals now. Remember that, right? We had no choice but to go to the grandmothers who was masters at herbs and all kind of things. All of these things is natural gifts that was given to us by our creators. We had no choice but to depend on ourselves and each other.
Right.
And now, like I said the other night, look at all the opportunity that we have nowadays, right? We got more opportunities now than we ever did, but the master plan was put in effect, like child psychology. Remember, as a child, no, you can't hear that candy yet. No, it's not time to eat yet, right? And if you tell a child that for a long period of time, the more that child is going to want it, right? So for so many years, we wasn't allowed to drive. I mean, when I say we, I'm talking as a whole. We wasn't allowed to integrate. We wasn't allowed to go to the restaurants and all kind of things that we enjoy nowadays, right? So now, just like a child, our people would rather take their hard-earned money and go spend it with somebody else, but don't want to take time to use that same money to build up their own neighborhood. The master plan has been in effect.
Yes. That is so true, Brother Hooney. So true. Yeah. And that's the thing, you know, that really frustrates me, that, you know, that we won't come together to try to buy stuff up and, you know, and to have our own as we once did. And that is so very sad. And now, Brother Hooney, with that being said, I think this is the best time to introduce my guest tonight, our guest tonight, because he's in Tulsa. He's in Oklahoma. In Oklahoma, you know, where the Black Wall Street once was. And he's going to talk about what's going on there. And not only is this young man from Oklahoma, but the very interesting thing about this young man is, you know, he is, wait till you hear this, Brother Hooney, this is going to be right up your alley, okay? He is also an activist, you know, for Aboriginal indigenous people, and he exposed, you know, how America has lied and all that stuff, changed our identities, and he is also on the board of the Freedom of the Five Civilized Tribes, who actually beat the so-called mighty racist Cherokee Nation of Oklahoma in the Supreme Court back in 2017. And so we're going to talk to him and bring him on. He is a citizen of the Cherokee Nation, and his name is Alfonso Henry. So let's bring Alfonso on now and welcome him to News Forum and get his thoughts about gentrification. Alfonso, how are you tonight, and welcome to News Forum.
Well done. Ocio. How you doing?
I'm fine. How are you? How are you?
I'm very blessed.
Well, now, yes, awesome, awesome. So now you're in Oklahoma, and
yes, ma'am.
What is going on there in Oklahoma as way of gentrifying Oklahoma? What's happening down there?
Okay, my elders. Before I even speak about it, I got to give thanks to my elders. My tribal moms, Lietta Sampson, she's been fighting this fight from the racism to the hatred to everything. It hurts so much. My city is in pain. Tulsa, Oklahoma is in pain because regentrification, that been done happened. They done burnt down my city. They dropped, your own government dropped bombs on you. The first city ever, this is the worst race massacre in U.S. history. They dropped bombs on us. And you know what they did? They built on top of our graves. They threw us in holes. They still finding bodies now. So if you ever get a chance, go on Hulu and watch that 1921 race massacre. They still pulling up bodies now.
Yeah.
Those buildings that's downtown inside of Greenwood District, which we owned, it was ours. They was jealous. We had our own, you know, bridal factories. Bouquets and all different types of mechanics. Like that brother was telling you, like we was independent. We was the first black independent Negro millionaires. And they just took it. They destroyed it. And then, you know what's so crazy about it, what makes me mad now, that they say, oh, y'all need to get over that. Why y'all mad about it? We didn't do it. It was our ancestors that did it. But so, that's the past. Well, if it was done to you, how would you feel?
Right.
They overlook us. They say we gangbangers and savages. And you know what's so crazy? They push us far north, Tulsa. If you know anything about North Tulsa, you know, from Greenwood District all the way back, that's on. That was ours. But now when you look it up, it's crazy. I wonder why they call it Cherokee Reservation. When you go into our ghettos from Apache to Pine, what you talk about regentrification, now they're pushing back. Tulsa University and the great Kevin Stitt, man, that dude is a joke. He's a racist. He's buying up all of everything, and they're coming back now into Apache, which mostly – you know who lived in them apartments, Apache apartments? Us, what they call the Negro. You know who lived in Mohawk apartments?
Mm-hmm.
Us, why they call the Negro. You know who lived in Osage apartment? Us, called the Negro. So that's why I tell people, do your history. Learn who you is. Learn what you is. Because all these so-called Indian names, your ancestors lived there. Those streets, that's what they called you by. That's why they used to tell you, don't go over there and mess with them boys from Redbird. Don't go and mess with them boys from Osage. Don't go and mess with them boys back up in that Apache. They were scared of us. But we didn't harm nobody. We weren't trying to be, you know, that. They brought that. They was jealous. They killed our people, burnt them up. They had to sneak kids. They was even killing kids. They burnt down churches. And then you know what they did after that? Well, while we had to sneak our people out the city to run all up in Kansas and to California, and everything, they just built over it. They made new stadiums and everything else. It's just crazy. It's sick.
That's so sad and so ridiculous.
They should be angry. Yeah. And they pull guns on you. and they try to shoot out your car. Mm-hmm. I had a cop tell me that to my face. I don't know if he's still working there, Mr. His name was Snyder. This man picked with me. I have a clean record. My record is clean, A1. I have a carry and conceal license. This man went into my glove compartment, took my gun out, threw me up against the car, and tried to strip me. And then told me I was supposed to yield. Before the laws changed with the side of Oklahoma and they gave it back to the Indians of the reservation, I told him what I was. I told him I was a tribal member, and I am an American Indian. You can't do this to me. After I told him and read him his rights and everything, you know, everything, and told him how I'm assumed, he let me go. He started being illegal looking out for my car, better not plant none in my car. And then he gonna tell me when he pulled up to my car that I was supposed to yell, "Officer, I got a gun. So you can shoot me and kill me?" I got a family member right now. He ain't even got a felony on his name. My guy is in the Cherokee Nation with me. And you know what they did to him? Them so-called imposters, where they at? You know what they said? He black. He ain't no Indian. We gonna leave him there to fry. That's how they do us. I had a brother get locked up in David L. Moss. He called me, "Brother, can you help me?" I had a brother call. They beat him to death. The officer took his license of his tribal ID, looked at it, laughed at him, and threw it out the window. And then they took him inside of David L. Moss and beat him for a week straight.
Oh, my gosh.
That's what my ancestors say. Whatever happens in Oklahoma, it affects the world. Because it started here. And I don't care if anybody feel about it. They say, "Oh, well, Oklahoma made so great," because it started here.
Yeah, that is where Black Wall Street was, definitely. And, you know, and it was great because, you know, we had our own everything.
Yeah.
And,
hey,
you know, for our adversaries to have that much hatred to just destroy it and just burn it to the ground and take lives and nothing to be done. I mean, that is just
You know who hurt us? You know who hurt us more than anybody hurt us besides that brother and sister of a different, another color? It was those that looked like us that hurt us.
Yes.
That sold us out.
Yep.
The preacher.
Yes. And
The community.
Yes.
And let me tell you something. You know Booker T. Washington, who they praised so high, and Du Bois? You didn't know they was undercover agents that were sent in by the government to go back and spy and go back and tell everything that happened. After that happened, Black Wall Street, I wanted to say a few months later or so, got burnt down. Go look it up. If I'm lying to you, go look it up. It is proven that that man worked. He was going back and reporting what was Black Wall Street, what it's like, what the Negroes had, everything. And they was too high. We was too high advanced. We owned, you know, big houses, Grand Opry pianos. It's more people that look like us that hurt the most. It's more people that look like me and you that hurt us the most.
Yeah. And that's how it is today as well, where, you know, they're the ones that sell us out all the time, you know, for a piece of land or some money in their pocket. And it's just so sickening. But, Alfonso, now, did you say that Booker T. Washington was the one that was going back talking?
Yes, ma'am. And I got proof. I can show you that man, because it's my, okay. But see, one thing you got to understand that most of these men that get in that type of power and get high in that type of power, you have to be a degree. You have to have a degree of masonry. I know, because my grandfather was Demetrius Twitty, who owned 20-in-1 Barbecue Sauce, which is Conway Twitty, the country singer, which is his cousin. You know, my grandpa funded his career. But my grandpa was a 33rd degree Freemason. I'm not, but my grandfather was.
Yeah.
But anyway,
yeah.
When you're a high member, you know, or you're moving up, just same as, what's his name? The other guy, I forgot his name, Marcus Garvey. He was a Freemason. But I don't want to speak too much on Let's leave that alone. But I'm just saying that it takes people like us in order to get something, in order to gain something, you have to give something. That's why.
Wow.
I mean,
that is
community.
So very. That is so very sickening.
Yeah,
and you know, and it's something, you know, how time always repeats itself, or things repeats itself, you know, and all throughout history, this is how it's been with, you know, selling us out and, you know, for materialistic things. And it's just so very sad. And you know what, Alfonso, as I told you earlier, I'm definitely going, we're going to have a whole show centered around, this, you know, with you and, the Aboriginal people. We're going to have a whole show on that and what you're doing down there in Oklahoma. But let me bring on really quickly. Don't go nowhere. Let me bring on, our producer. He wants to hop on because he got some present. He got a chime in here. Come on, brother. Okay.
Well, first I got to say something to the brother. You know, what he's saying, you know, is documented. All right. My man, Steve Coakley. You know Steve Coakley, brother. If you are educated as you sound, you know the great researcher, Steve Coakley, who passed away on 4/11. They killed that man on Information Day, okay? April 11th, okay? It's all the boulet, bro. Okay? We're not going to go there tonight. You heard what I said, right? You heard what I said, right? You heard what I said, right, young man? All right, that's all I got to say, because I'm all that. Back to the program.
The boulet, the ballet,
yeah. Wow, that's something. All right, we're going to
No, pronounce boulet. It's pronounced boulet.
Pronounce
I said what I said,
boulet.
All right.
Yeah, that's the black. I know what they are. I know what they are.
All right, let's get back to the program.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Let us go to a caller. Caller, you're live on the Air with News Forum. How are you tonight? What are your thoughts on gentrification? You have to speak
up, caller. All right. Callers, are you there? You got to be in a quiet place. Let's respect the avenue of our broadcasting. Caller, you're on right now. Nah, you ain't on. You ain't on. No. We go to another caller. You know, Chinchilla, we want to get these lines together. Folks, when you press 1, that means you want to talk to our wonderful news anchor, Chinchilla Janicia. Please respect the mic. Don't be somewhere where you got a TV on the radio on. You're on the radio, so respect it, okay? And I know I'm right. We'll bring on another caller right now. Caller, you're on line right now with our newscaster, Chinchilla J, right here on these R&E stations.
Caller, you're live on the air. How are you tonight?
What's going on, Mr. Jilla J?
Hey, how are you?
I am wonderful. This is Insane Mo Payne.
Oh, hey, Mo Payne. How are you?
I am
glad
wonderful.
Glad to have you call in tonight.
Yeah, I'm sitting here listening, and a couple things y'all talking about, I kind of be on it. And I don't know what other people's perspective is on regentrification, but my perspective and what I see is that ain't really what's going on. To me, this is a brand new segregation. They tried the regentrification. It didn't work. They tried segregation because they didn't want us getting along with them. I know everybody ain't paying attention to their news and stuff, but black crime has dropped a lot. So I'm seeing a new form of segregation, not from them. They don't want us with us. So these neighborhoods that they're regentrifying, they really not. They just separating it and putting another hardship on us again. That's just my point of view and what I'm seeing. And I was hearing the young man talk, and he got some good points, but I just don't see it that way. And then I want to speak on what you said about the COVID. I'm so blessed and so glad that somebody's keeping up with these numbers and stuff like that. But I'm going to ask you this, and it might sound like a joke, but I'm dead serious. If all of these millions and millions of people is dying, why ain't seeing no extra funerals out here? Where are all these bodies at, Ms. Chinchilla? And I know it sounds crazy, but I'm dead serious. Where are these bodies? Where's all these burials? What's happening? What's going on for real?
That's a good question. Well, Mopin, I can tell you this, like, you know, because all those numbers, that was worldwide. So there's a lot of countries, especially over in India, they had all types of makeshift morgues. Even here in the United States, New York had makeshift morgues, and different states here had makeshift morgues because there were so many bodies that they could not, they didn't have any place to house these bodies. And also in New York, they had, I think it was a place near, I think it was near Central Park. I really don't remember now, but this was back in 2020, where they had put and buried bodies, dumped those bodies into some park, and just left them there. They dug holes and they dumped the bodies there. And this has also been happening in different areas too. And here in Philadelphia, the funeral homes are so backed up that it's taking like weeks, in some cases over a month, for people to be able to have a funeral for their loved one because this is how bad it is. So the bodies are there. The bodies are definitely there.
Well, I'm so glad you schooled me, because I'd be looking and I'd be wondering, where are the funerals? Where's all of the mass stuff? And I'm just not seeing it.
Yeah, and now it's so bad that now their families, like within the past week, I have seen or heard families, you know, people that I know that have lost like three people in their families in 1 week. And then a few Facebook friends of mine, you know, post today, I just read, as a matter of fact, lady lost three people in her family, her mother, her uncle, and I think it was her cousin, all in 1 week. And, you know, and this is how it's been happening. And a lot of the, some of the deaths you won't hear about, and, you know, some of the things we won't know about unless we actually know people who it's happened to. But yeah, the people left and right, and, you know, still is mostly people that have underlying ailments, people that are subject of the vaccine tonight, since we're talking about gentrification. But, you know, to me, that's all another way of wiping us out, okay? So they're trying multiple ways to wipe out the black population. Is, you know, that's what I always say about this whole pandemic. And, you know, the way it is and the way it's always been, they don't care if they wipe out some of their own as well, you know? And what do they call it?
I know that's
to what is it called? It's called something about they don't mind something a few for the better good, or something like that. Whatever, I can't think of what it is right now. But they don't mind getting rid of some of their own, as long as it's the majority of us. They don't mind losing a few of their own in the process, and you know, and that's so very sad. But yeah, so but we, that's why it's so important that we take charge of our health and not rely on these white lab coat doctors to make us healthier, or thinking that they're going to give us something that is going to make us healthy, when that is not the case. The only thing they do is kill us and make us sicker, and we continue to depend on them to take charge of our health and make us healthy, when they're not going to make us healthy. They don't care about making us healthy. They don't want that. They want us to, you know, to be done away with. But yet, we trust them with our health, and that's so insane to me. But thank you so much for calling, Mo Payne. I got to get to the next caller. Caller, you're live on the air with News Forum. How are you?
Is that me?
Yes, that is.
Hello? Oh, hi. How you doing?
Hello, you're live on the air.
Yes, this is Vince Moto.
Hey, Vincent, how are you?
I'm doing fine. Thanks for asking, Chinchilla. I was listening to the show, and wow, it's just so much information always. It's just so many issues that, you know, as human beings that we deal with, no matter what the situation be, whether it's health-wise, whether it's neighborhood-wise, and that's one of the situations that we're dealing with now, community, neighborhood, these tycoons coming into community, building, I call them projects. They're so high, they're so tall, and it's just out of order where they're putting them in a resident area. We're talking about dropping like a Walmart. That's crazy. Like, can you imagine walking out your door and there's Walmart, and you live on a single street block, and all your whole community is single two-story houses? You know, that's madness. Or can you imagine a big tower, 48 story tall building, next door on the corner of your block? And this is what's happening to communities now, because these tycoons, they have this money and they're building it, and all this neighborhood that, as one of the brothers was speaking about, how, you know, they tear it down, then come back and buy it up. Well, you know, when I went to college and I was getting my degree in business, we had, my professor told me there was two type of goals, a long-term goal and a short-term goal. Each one of these goals had their own purpose, objective, and motive for what they're doing and what's the reason for it. And this, to me, in my community, I live in South Philadelphia, in the area near Point Breeze Avenue, and we're having a problem there with someone, Orvis, trying to buy, well, actually not buy, but put a 57-unit, five stories tall, behind my home, like 10 feet away. So, you know, it's bad enough in my community right now where we live, where people are arguing, going through changes over parking, but now they came into our community and they took our park. It was a park. I grew up here, South Philly, and back in the day we had a park, and it was called the Top Lot around here on 23rd Morris Street. And I, as you know from having me on your show before, I was wrongfully incarcerated for 10 and a half years for a crime I didn't commit. But as growing up in this community around here, I've been here almost 59 years. This year will be 59 years, matter of fact, that I've been in this community. I've been here when it was just Italian, Irish, Jewish. You know, that was my neighbors at the time. My dad is Japanese and Indian. My mom is Indian, and I think it's part Irish. But anyway, doesn't matter. The point that I'm making is that I built a stage behind my home, and that was our parking lot where we went every day, where the children had somewhere to play. When children actually had something to do during the daytime, wasn't running around being destructive because there was nobody there to work with them, nobody there to educate them, no one there to teach them, no one to supervise them, no one. You know, back then, all that was in our community. You know, you could look at Miss Jones across the street, and Miss Jones would watch you just like as if she was your mother. And if you did something wrong, she'd call your mom. And actually, she could spank you, bring you home, and your mom would bake her a cake. Stuff like that that doesn't exist anymore for the opportunity for our children in our neighborhoods and our communities. The parents are so out there struggling so hard, trying to find, you know, maintain, trying to find a living, that there's no one there with our children anymore. There's no one supervising the children, and we're wondering what's happening. This is what's happening. We come from an industrial a society to an informational highway, and this informational highway caused a lot of changes to take place in our communities. Now your child is running around with a cell phone while you're at work and can see the whole world. You're worrying about what's in the community. Hey, he's up here on this this sex shop or down here, anywhere, you know, anything you can think of is on the internet. So now,
right,
you know, and we're talking about gentrification. All this is part of that activity, you know. And now in our communities, they're just coming through after the coke and the crack era hit our communities and strip people down, and now the houses is beat down and everything is just, you know, messed up. And then I live right where it only takes 5 minutes, 10 minutes most to get to the airport, 5 minutes to get downtown, 5 minutes to walk to the mall, 10 minutes to walk to the mall or something. This is prime area. It's not even about the house this or that. It's about the land that's sitting on. See, and now.
Wow.
Yes. And now they brought this parking lot that used to be our playground. It was illegally sold to someone, and the city didn't do what they were supposed to do to maintain it. You know, so it got passed around. Someone privately held on to it, couldn't do anything with it, and then passed it on and sold it to someone else. Now, it should have went back to the city.
Okay.
They should have repaired the park and, you know, all this. And now they're talking about 57 units, 5 stories high in my neighborhood where it's 2-story houses. And they're talking about building this big project and sticking it right in the middle of our block. Our electric bill is going to go high.
Let me ask you this, Mr. Moto. Now, so with that going on, now has the community come together to fight against that development?
Very few. Very few of us came together to fight against it. And it's sad because this is how segregated the communities are today. You know, I was growing up, we had neighbors. We knew our neighbors. You barely know anybody now because anybody can just pop in on your block now, move in and buy a house. It didn't used to be that way. So people just don't care like they used to. It's a few people around here. And see, most of them are senior citizens now. So these are mostly homeowners, but they're senior citizens.
Okay.
Can't get out. You know, they're old people. They can't get out there. But we have rallies out there. We've been fighting. We've been talking with some of the state reps. We talked with, excuse me 1 minute.
Your councilman. Now your councilman down there in South Philly, now, what is he doing? Is he doing anything to help you guys?
Well, I'm going to tell you like this. This is my own personal opinion, and I can speak for a few other people. He's not doing what he should be doing. And it's sad because we're talking an area where community is, and it has history of our culture and everything that, you know, it once stood for. And to let someone in, just come in, change the area, what they call by right. What the heck is by right? I don't even know what by right is. They never notified anyone in the community until the last moment. So people didn't even know what was going on. They just come into your community and just start building things. No one was notified. Then they slide and sit and pass paperwork out. He's not really doing what he should be doing. It saddens me. That he's not doing what he should be doing.
I don't mean to cut you off, but this is what I'm hearing from so many people across the country, that, you know, their councilmen or their, you know, state, the city officials, and they're not doing anything to help save these communities. And it's so very sad. And then a by right property, you know, for developers to be able to get the property as a by right. And what that means is they don't have to go before the traditional zoning to get the proper zoning, because they've already, you know, have already put things in place where they're agreeing, and whatever they've submitted, it already complies to that specific zoning. So they don't have to go before a zoning board for that, unless they make alterations or changes and things like that, which is very sad because then that leaves the community out of the equation, really, and it should never be that way because the community should always have a say in what is developed in their community. And so that's where legislation needs to be changed across this country for situations like this. And that's when the community has to come together and fight for legislation to be changed because it's just not right. It's just not right. And we will definitely be revisiting that again. And we have to take another caller. And but yeah, so that property definitely y'all need to continue to fight and stay on that councilman. And if you have to, like, go on all types of radio shows, put stuff out in the paper, and just put him on blast. If he's not going to step in and help you guys save that piece of history in your community, then put him on blast. That's the best thing to do. Put him on blast and let everybody know what's going on there in South Philadelphia. And I thank you so much for calling in. And that's such a disgrace because, you know, Vincent Moto is Pennsylvania's historical exoneree. And it seems like the city would just go ahead and give him that property since they never paid him or compensated him for wrongfully incarcerating him for those years. The state of Pennsylvania has no compensation bill in place right now. And so exonerees are not compensated. So that's the least that the city of Philadelphia could do is to give him that property so that he can have it be called the Vincent Moto Community Park and build a community center, Vincent Moto Community Center and Vincent Moto Music School, Free School of Music. And, you know, it's only right. It's only right. But, you know, again, what are these council people doing? What are the city officials doing? We vote them in office, people, and if they are not doing their job and making sure that their constituents are being served properly and fighting for their constituents, then guess what? You should not vote them back in office again. Stop complaining, people, because too many people complain all the time about certain politicians, but then they go and vote for them again. Stop voting for them. Stop putting them in office. And then that will give them a wake-up call, and that will be a wake-up call for the next person that's going to fill their shoes to do the right thing. So, you know, this is just such a frustrating thing. It's ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous. Brother Hooney or Alfonso, would you like to chime in on that?
Hey, first of all, I want to say for the first two brothers that came on, I didn't get a chance to speak. I was just trying to get it, keep it respectful. But I just want to say peace and divine blessings for both of y'all. Y'all are definitely on point. My main thing is one of the things that we have yet to do, and that actually opened the door for all kind of things to take place, and that was to form our own military. I cannot stress that enough. Mm. Because think about it. You know, I keep speaking about it all the time. There's a difference between a human being and a living being. First of all, and trust me, these are some of the advances that's coming out on my show, because it's time for people to know the truth about why things take place the way that it continues to take place. All right? But that's the main issue. We took time to, you know, become scattered, but we never took time to form a military. First of all, between the so-called African-American, Native American, whether people who was here originally or migrated here, we're still the original people of this planet Earth, irregardless to wherever we come from as original people, right? And that's one of the things that they did a good job to beat and breed out of us, our sense of ownership. Now, I want us to think about something. What kind of nature? Forget about the skin color that you see or whatever costume that they have. I want you to think about the nature. What kind of nature that would continue to torture people, kill people, steal from them, right? And set up these laws that they made, not the creator's laws, right? And they can drop a whole bomb on a country and drink a cup of coffee afterwards. This is a soulless being, a being. See, that's the difference between a soul and a spirit, y'all. I keep saying that. You understand? And most of us as original people are a people of soul. We forgive too much. And I'm just being honest, because there's no way on this earth or after the earth, when it comes to someone that's close to me, right, bottom line is you're not getting away with that. And that's the type of attitude that we have to take if we're going to take our own life back in our own hands. They are not getting away with that. And if enough of us was to start saying that, not just Black Lives Matter, but our lives matter. And I'm going to end it this way. Anyone who comes to try to take this divine gift that I have, they better value their life just as much as I value mine, and I'm not giving it up on a silver platter for nobody.
Wow. Wow. Alfonso?
I agree with the first brother. I mean, I agree with him on that. And also the last brother that spoke, I really agree with him, you know, how they came in and took. Because it's the same thing what happened here. And it happened there where he said West Philly. Yeah, it's just that that's one thing we got to understand. We can militarize things. My grandfather was also a Black Panther. I come from a whole family line of Black Panthers, strong militant down in Oklahoma City area. Yeah, we can do that, but this is one thing you got to understand. Them folks got the same guns that you can get, right? Plus nukes and anything else you can get your hands on, right? So
mm-hmm.
We did that. When they try to come in and they blame that white woman, blame that Black boy, and she wasn't even from here. She was from Kansas. She went back. They found out she lied, and they did not do nothing or prosecute her or nothing. We wouldn't let
right.
them come on our
yeah.
and take that boy. We wouldn't let them take that boy. We had our guns ready, and most of our men, Black men that you want to call it, which is a misnomer, stood up for our community, and they wouldn't let them take that boy. And those men was military, you know, taught. Them men came out the military, so they couldn't do nothing with them. So you know what they did? They said, we can't fight them with guns. We got to drop bombs on them. That's how it went down. Then the army equipped them with Gatling guns, machine guns, to the truck, attached to the truck. Man, we can't fight like that. The only way we can help these people is fight their own gang. Go to war with them. Get your head in them books. Learn them laws, because what they teaching us is American history. It ain't world history. They teaching you that straight, racist,
right.
redneck, hip-hop country stuff. And we can go for it, or we can grow a brain and a mind that the good God gave us up above, and let's get back at them. Let's get wise. Let's read them books. Let's study our law. Let's take our land back, because we got to stand here and hey, the blood is in the land, and it's all about the land.
Yes. Yes, yes.
That's what I got to say.
All right. Yes. Thank you so much for chiming in on that. Let's go to another caller. Caller, you're live on the air with News Forum. How are you tonight?
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, Chinchilla.
Yes.
Good. I was hoping you could hear me. Thank you. Well, this is Antonia Bass. I just wanted to say the stories that are being told are such eye-openers. First, I want to say happy birthday to Dr. Martin Luther King, a man for all people. And second, that is due tomorrow, if I'm not mistaken, his celebration. The second thing I wanted to say was brief story. Over here at Broad and Girard in Philadelphia, I understand when I returned from serving down south in the service, coming back up here, there are so many stories to be told that I would have never known if I have not got the opportunity to live on this side of town. And what really get me is There was a neighbor who had to move away a few years ago. She asked me, you know, some questions like, do the neighbors still come out on the lawns and watch the fireworks? There was one set of fireworks over at the Philadelphia Art Museum, one of the most massive and well-known conventional museums in the world, I would think. And then there was another one out on the famous tourist attraction called Penn's Landing in the opposite direction. I recall when I returned here to Philadelphia and then moving into this community near Broad and Girard in a pretty okay environment, you know, near Temple University, we would all come out on the lawns, the women mostly, and the children on a warm summer night on July the 4th to watch the fireworks in both directions on that same night. Now, since there have been the issue of regentrification and just people just massively building things that blocked our views on both sides, I told her, no, we don't have that. As a result, we don't have the neighbors and even the onlookers from outside this immediate community that will go outside and sit on their steps and be a community like that scene from Oprah Winfrey's movie years ago called Women of Brewster Place. Well, it's not meant just for the women, of course, here, but it's just the idea of the children. I fear for them sometimes because if they go outside of the community, we know about Philadelphia being, if I'm not mistaken, the third biggest city with massive killings of stray bullets and things like that right now. Anyway,
yes.
And my concern is this: will we ever get a chance to, as a community, unite with the people? I mean, you can't stop time from going on, but to unite with people who are community-minded, as, you know, your previous callers had said, for different reasons. You know, some people, they did not think about carrying on the unity. Just as a community, we were able to really preserve and just let everybody see the value of community-minded people. As a result, I don't fear what could happen in the future, but I do say this. Some people need to tell the truth to some of these younger people who are capable of coming into voting and things like that, that Kanye West, well, he's a wonderful entertainer, for example. And I understand that there's a guy named Lil Nas X who is, if I'm not mistaken, from what I heard, the top producer out there of music at this particular point. Why don't they tell these younger people that these are fictional characters who sometimes they go left or right on their decision-making and you don't need to follow them blindly, and have people to realize that, pick up a newspaper, the Tribune is still available and others here in Philadelphia, ask them what are the issues that these future constituents are running under so that they'll know what they have to look forward to and don't have to walk into things blindly and just eliminate communities when they were a healthy situation just about. So I just wanted to put that out there and say I thank them for sharing their stories, because I wasn't born on this side of town, but I tell you, coming over here, I didn't realize there was such interesting landmarks and artifacts, and I got to see council people come over to Progress Plaza and make an honorary marquee at Broad and Jefferson. I got to see this place called the Blue Horizon just before it went down. It was a famous, very famous place for boxing as a sport, which is, you know, for some reason a dying art since they've had included some tall rise buildings, which I won't mention, that blocked a very famous mural for representing boxers like Joe Frazier and Ken Norton and whoever else that adorned. I don't even see a marquee for the Blue Horizon, to my understanding, that has not only a wonderful landmark to tell stories of, but which is like right down from Freedom Theater at Broaden Master, which has a heck of a, even Oprah Winfrey came there to do a movie, you know, audition some years ago on her movie called Beloved. It was for a reason. I would like to see the Blue Horizon at least get a marquee. I don't have nothing to gain by saying that, only because that those are the stories that mold and hopefully can bring back the sanity of the community and hopefully let some of these younger people see that it's more to life than going out there gathering up guns, shooting, trying to look like they're part of the true hip-hop crowd, which will evolve eventually anyway. But that's all I wanted to say, and you all have a wonderful night. And Brother Hooney, a wonderful show you had Thursday night. You think I wasn't listening, but I do understand why you say certain things. And God bless you and your children.
Thank you so much, Antonia, for calling in tonight. And that was our International Internet Radio Hall of Fame broadcasting nominee, Antonia Batts. And, you know, what she mentioned about the different things going on in Philadelphia, and, you know, the gun violence here is just crazy. And a lot of it does have to do with the gentrification of the different neighborhoods, because it's taken away from some of the facilities that the young people used to frequent to try to be productive. A lot of those places are now gone. And we're trying to get some things back. And I'm trying to advocate and help those in South Philadelphia fight to get some resources down there and a building that they can house programs for these young people to get them off the streets. Last year, the homicides ended at 562 homicides in Philadelphia for 2021, which is so very sad. That was the highest in the history of the homicides here in Philadelphia. And already this year, today is January 16th, and there has already been 22 homicides here. And it's so very sad. And there's been 66 non-fatal shootings. And so, and we're 16 days into the year and already more deaths than it is the days that have been so far in Philadelphia, well, in this year of 2022. And that's how it started off last year. And it's so sad. And it's pathetic. So something definitely has to change. And we definitely have to band together as a people to make sure change happens. And it won't happen until we change our mindsets and we start to work together and build together and make sure that we're heard, and not just heard, but make sure people understand we mean business. And like Brother Hooney said, if it's about getting the military together, our own military, great. And my friend Bruce Cox, he's the vice president of the Black Panther Party. And there's a brother down in Texas that runs the, it's a gun school down there. And I can't even think of the name of it right now. Huey P. Newton gun school and gun club. And so we need more stuff like that throughout this country for our people to be ready for war. Because guess what? War is coming, y'all. And if our counterparts, they're always ready and armed, and they have all kinds of weapons. They even have assault weapons, assault rifles, everything you can imagine. They even have those rocket launchers and bazookas and everything else. And we need to get on board and start training our children at a young age how to properly utilize and use a weapon. So that's what we need to do. Right now, I'm going to bring on now a young man who is in prison right now, wrongfully incarcerated down in California. And he's going to talk to us tonight, his viewpoints on gentrification. And he will be my special guest next week. He will be telling his story next week. And along with one of his comrades, not one of his comrades, but a friend of his, who is also the founder of No Comrades Left Behind. And Jay, who's going to be talking to us now, he is the California VP of No Comrades Left Behind, and he's also the founder of the Black Lives Matter prison chapter. And they both are going to be my guests next week, but Jay wants to chime in tonight, so let's hear what Jay has to say. How are you tonight, Jay?
Oh, it's a blessing. It's a blessing. Thank you for having me on, Chinchilla. And you already gave you already basically introduced me. And yes, I am incarcerated. I've been incarcerated for the last 33 years since I was 16 years old here in California. And for those who didn't get it, my name is Jay Burton. And like she said, I am the vice president of No Comrades Left Behind. And my partner, Joseph P. Langdon, he's the president of No Comrades Left Behind. And I'm also the founder of Black Lives Matter Prison Chapter. Now, I am also a freedom fighter. I'm an author. I have a book out, my memoir called The Life and Times of a L.A. Blood. Now, you were speaking of gentrification. We got to also include education, incarceration, poverty, how it all coincides with each other. Let me give Philly a shout out because, you know, I see Philly is represented tonight. Now, I'm from Watts, California, so you guys can know Watts, Philly, New York, certain areas down south. We all experienced a lot of racism when we came up, and we all experienced poverty at a level and at an alarming level. Back in 1965, I'm sure some of you people are aware of the Watts riots. We kind of put Watts on the map. So, you know, it's ironic that in the last 15, 20 years, a lot of these people been trying to take Watts back. Even though Watts is one of the most impoverished neighborhoods back in the days, in the 70s, 80s, 90s, and some of 2000s. They've been, like, in our area in Watts, we have several housing projects, low-income housing projects. And they've been going around trying to pay people, like, I think, $2,000 to $5,000 to move out of these housing projects and move in areas that's far away, like in like rural areas where like a lot of fires and earthquakes always happening at, because they want these areas back. And I've been talking to people throughout these years, like getting word out there, look, we're leaving our community. Yeah, they're impoverished neighborhoods, but it's a reason why they want these communities back. And they trying to move y'all out of these communities because the land in Watts, where we're like Watts, Compton, Long Beach, Inglewood, California, all this is like it used to be heavily populated by blacks. But there was a time that whites had it at one time, but I'm saying like the 70s, the late 60s, 70s, 80s, around that time. There has been a lot of our people that has been taking these $5,000, these $2,000 to $5,000 and moving out of the inner cities and moving way out in other areas where the dirt is messed up. You can't really grow food or nothing because, you know, it got all these diseases that's in the ground and they moving our people out there and they falling for the technology. So I get what people were saying. I like everybody's topics, and I was trying to figure out who do I piggyback off of, but every time somebody came on, they said something more interesting. So I was thinking, okay. So it was just too interesting. I was just trying to figure out, and then I tried to grab a pen and paper. I'm like, there's just too many going on, but I wanted to say, okay, let me tie gentrification into incarceration, education, and poverty. Now we know poverty, what it instills. It instills this the worst of the worst. And then we got to also include that a lot of us are not educated when it comes to laws and our rights. And when it comes to our rights, most of us, I've been in prison for 33 years. I'm a jailhouse lawyer. So most guys in prison don't even know their rights. And these guys have been walking around these yards for 10, 15 years around, but they don't even know their rights. So imagine that the average citizen on the street, they don't really know what our rights entail, so they're quick to fall for the stuff that's going on. And there's something that we got to do about that as well. Now, we talk about the youth. You guys explained that all these murders and stuff that's been happening. We have to also look at our culture. Now I speak of culture, let's go to our hip-hop. Our hip-hop is one of the most influential things that we have today. That hip-hop influenced the whole world. So if we know that has a strong hold on the world, we got to change what's being said in our lyrics, because people, they buy into these lyrics, and a lot of times people will say, well, I don't like what they said, I like the beat. But people don't understand the beat is for to hypnotize you. Once the beat hypnotizes you, all the stuff that you don't like is actually being recorded in your subconscious mind. So it's constantly being recorded, constantly being recorded. So you start repeating what you didn't like in the lyrics. And you wonder why you're repeating this. And we got to also include the heavy drugs. You got these lyrics that you say you don't like, you just like the beat in your subconscious, and then you got the drugs that's driving you into stuff you normally don't do. So we got to also address that as well when it comes to us. I'm going to use the term what they call black-on-black violence, because we are raising our kids now, well, it's been going on for a minute, to hate ourselves. I grew up as a gang member. I grew up as a blood in Watts, California. But today, I am still considered a blood, so to speak, but I politicize my movement. I don't see a Crip. I don't see nobody as my enemy that looks like me at all. But I have to, when I was raised with the Black Panther, when I first came to prison, like I said, I was 16 and 89. I hit the prison as soon as I turned 18. I was in Folsom State Prison. A lot of them older Black Panthers, they seen me. I was the youngest man on the whole prison line. But they saw something in me, and they started educating me. But they said, look, in order for you to reach the younger ones that's going to start coming in here, you got to kind of like, you got to be them. So we're not going to tell you to stop being a blood. We're just going to tell you this, all the foolishness that come along with it, because we're going to need you to relate to them, because a lot of times it's hard for them to relate to us because they don't see us as one of them no more. And I got what he said, so that's why I said I am not an active gang member at all, a gang banger at all. But I know that I'm going to use the word the tribe that I come from, and that's a blood. But when I see Bloods and Crips together, that's what I do. I bring them together, and that's where the Black Lives Matter prison chapter came in. And my logo is that of a red and a blue bandana in the middle of a fist. And there was a guy that told me, who got more influence than me on these prison yards, he told me that it never worked. Within the last 6 months, I got so many Bloods, Crips, Christian, Muslims, everything represent Black Lives Matter prison chapter today. Actually, I do a lot of interviews around the nation about what I spread and what I'm doing. Yes, I have a lot of interviews that I do around the nation. I do interviews at least once to twice a week, and I'm spreading. I'm spreading what our hip hop community need to start spreading. Okay, you could talk goes on in the hood, but talk about the consequences of this. Let's start educating it. You can still talk your stuff, but know that there's consequences behind the stuff that we're doing that's counterproductive to us trying to grow. And that's why I said when we think about gentrification, we got to also think about the education. We got to think about the culture of our people. We got to think about incarceration, and we got to also include poverty. Because
I
got to
come
on
to Chichilla. Our brother, first of all, you from Watts, brother. I'm from Rhodes, France, man. I'm from Kemp, man. I'm from Compton, California, man, originally.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say this to you, where, first of all, you already know. So coming off of you, we from the gravel.
Grew up on Rhodes, France.
Right on. We from the gravel. I just want to say something, Chinchilla, that is one of the most opulent signs of gentrification in this country. We have a Super Bowl that's about to come to Inglewood, California at SoFi Stadium. Do you know, Chinchilla, there were black homes that they raised to build that stadium? Because of the gang violence and how city council failed people from Inglewood? Just what that brother just said. People moved out, man, you know, parts of California like Richmond and Fresno and all that old foolishness, right? They raised houses, okay? And I don't care who hears this. SoFi Stadium stands on a former black community. And now back to the program.
He's right. He's very much right. And they raised the rent up in Inglewood, California. Because Inglewood, California, that was like once you leave Watts and certain parts of Compton, you go to Inglewood or you go to the Crenshaw District. That's where the middle class and working class people work feel they made it. Well, that's another step up, Inglewood. So what they did with Inglewood, like you say, they took a bunch of people home. And you know what? Also in Watts, they built this big old freeway through Watts. And when they built this big old freeway, they took a lot of homes up out of that as well. So our people don't know what – our people don't know their rights. And when y'all talking about politicians, a lot of these politicians are paid – they get paid to, you know, go smile in your face and say, vote for me, and then they get up there and do nothing.
Right.
And then the next voting season,
that's
they
right.
do the same thing. And, you know everybody was
mm-hmm.
on this Joe Biden dude. Don't they know Joe Biden wasn't with us at one time? He wanted the ones, him and Clinton,
no,
him, they some of the people that made laws more tougher for us. They
mm-hmm.
some of the people that
yeah, and that's
I'll tell you, they're some of the people that made
him
laws
and,
way more
him
powerful.
And, him and the vice president. Him and the vice president. Neither one of them.
Yeah.
And, you know, from that whole election, I told people in the beginning they were being bamboozled and not to vote
yeah.
for them in office, but they did. And
no.
now you see what's happening, right?
wants
to be a dictator.
There's a brother named Richard Cooper who's been on California death row for about 30-something years. For a murder, they know he didn't do it. Arnold Schwarzenegger, when he was the governor, I think it was like in the, I think it was 2005, 2006 time. They was trying to execute this guy, Richard Cooper. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals said, "Look, if there's anybody innocent, we believe that this man is innocent. So you cannot execute him. You need to get that man the information to." See if he can be exonerated with some DNA type stuff, right? So they didn't execute him. You got people like Kim Kardashian and them. They done got behind this dude. But where I'm going, you had Kamala Harris, who was the Attorney General for the state of California. She was one of the ones that was trying to press for this man to get executed. See, there's things
wow.
we don't know about these politicians. These politicians, they play for the
mm-hmm.
crowd. But
oh, yeah.
whoever it is that's filling their pockets, that's who they're gonna cater to once they get in that office.
Exactly. Unless they're ones that are true to what they're doing and they actually believe in doing what's right. But for the most part, most of the politicians are corrupt, and see, they will play on, you know, what they think that people want to hear. And, you know, yeah. the way Kamala Harris played on black people by going around on the campaign trail wearing Tims and wearing some poke heads. And they thinking, oh, wow, she down. No, she is not down. She never even called herself black. So, I mean, wake up, people. Wake up. But Jay, I thank
because
you so much tonight for chiming in. And again,
yeah.
everybody, Jay will be my special guest next Sunday night at 9:30 p.m. along with Joseph P. Langdon. So invite y'all to tune in to hear this really compelling story and find all about what they do and why they do what they do. So thank you so much, Jay, for calling in tonight to share with us about what's going on there in Cali, in California. Thank you so much. Now, we're going to talk with Brother Hooney. Brother Hooney, hey, hey.
Hey, please, can y'all hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Hey, great show, great show. Let me say something right quick. When you heard Brother Hooney speak about military mindset, that's exactly where I'm coming from. And when you hear me speak about, you know, forming our own military, first of all, in this state of mind, keep that in mind, you can't have no physical unity because people have been divided in mind for such a long time. When you hear me say what I have been offering, you know, us for over 36 years, is you got to take your mind back first. You can't do anything physically until you take your mind back. And you can't take your soul back until you take your mind back. And that's the main issue. Anytime they allow someone, any enemy, I don't care what they look like, come there and do something to you without them making them pay the ultimate price for it. And, you know, that's what I mean by mindset. At this point in time, we're not ready for no all-out war because it's too much division. That's why those people, be it Black Panthers or any other thing, can be easily brought out and infiltrated. You understand? You got to get to the point where you can take your mind back first, okay? Having said that, I also got an announcement I want to say right quick. Congratulations, 2021, Sonya Griffin award-winning Benny, your new host of the year, Chinchilla J, on your All Needs Syndication Station All-Time Connection Record with your 40th all-time with the Darlene Lawrence Championship. You're not, I mean, look, you all out of your 30s right about now. I'm proud of you. Thank you so much for opening the forum up and inviting me.
It's catching up with my age.
And, but, yeah, I want to make it clear, when you hear me say that, I'm not talking about right now, we're not equipped to do that. We're not ready for that. You got to take your mind back first. And when you take your mind back and your soul back, you're not just dealing with things that's on earth. Our ancestors will be able to fight on our side. And on that note, I'm going to put that on pause.
All right. Thanks so much, Brother Hooney. And well, I want to do really quick. I am so sorry. I forgot about Reverend Fordham, who wanted to say talk for a couple minutes about gentrification in South Philadelphia really quickly. So I'm going to bring on Reverend Fordham really quickly. I'm so sorry, Reverend Fordham. I forgot all about you. I certainly did. Got so wrapped up and tied up in this conversation. I forgot that you were on here. And so let's talk to Reverend Fordham for a quick minute here. Reverend Fordham, how are you tonight?
All right, Chinchilla, what number is he calling from? Because if he's calling from the regular 215 number, Reverend Fordham is not on.
Yeah, he's at 215. Let me see. His
No, ma'am. No, ma'am. He's not on. No, he's not on. No, he's not on, Chinchilla. Let's continue. He's not on.
He's not on no more? Okay, he's not on no more. Okay, awesome. All right. Okay. All right. So Reverend Fordham's not on anymore. But I have to give him my apologies. All right. But yeah, Brother Hooney, you're so right. And awesome. And I just thank you so much tonight for coming on here and being my guest co-host tonight. Thank you so much. And we're going to hear from Alfonso Henry now to give his final thoughts for the night.
Oh, hello. How you doing? I love it, man.
Good.
I like talking with like-minded people, you know, that's, you know, well-educated and, you know, and putting out the information about what we go through as a people. Like, and like I say, man, like now I do an inner-city youth. I got a nonprofit inner-city youth football team, and I'm going in starting with the youth, you know, to teach them that, you know, take the guns out their hands, stop gangbanging, drug dealing. Now, you know, in my city, I see it, you know, and kids is getting dope and everything. These grown folks are throwing dope in these kids' hands, and they slanging. They don't even want to play sports no more. So I'm going into the hood to bring them out of it. So, I mean, it's well-educated. You know, it's just like it's wrong what we go through as a people. And we was put here by oppressors. You know what I'm saying? People that, you know, that didn't want us here, you know, that came in and pillaged. So, like I say is, you know, do your research. Help your community. You know, stop talking about it and be about it. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of people that run their mouth.
Yeah,
but
I
you
know
ain't
what
have
you're saying.
You know what I'm saying? The keyboard warriors. I can't stand it. I'm out here on the front line. I'm going into the trenches. I go to Kansas City. I go to Texas. I got family down there. I go all in the hood. So that's all I got to say. I love your show.
That's
awesome. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I will definitely have you back on again, Alfonso, because like I said, I definitely want to have you on so we can have an in-depth conversation about what you do. And so, and, you know, I want to know more, and I'm sure everybody else wants to know more as well. So I will definitely have you back on in the very, very near future. I will definitely bring you back on here as a special guest to talk about that. And I love what you're doing and the fact that you're teaching our people, you know, hey, who they are. And they need to know who they are because we are the people, you know, we are the ones, the real ones, okay, that own this land all across this country, and it should be made known. And it's such a shame what has been done to us, but it's even more of a shame for those that continuously allow it to be done. And so that's where things must change. We're changing the mindsets of our people so that they can know who they are, so they can stand up and take their rightful places. And too many are walking around clueless and lost, and it's so very sad. But it's time for everyone within the Black community to wake up. And as the saying goes, wake up and smell the coffee. Wake up and see who you really are. Stop doing what you have been programmed to do, because that's what it is. They've been programmed to live the way they live, to do the things they do. And as Jay talked about the music, oh gosh, I talk about that music all the time. And Mike Test Entertainment TV, before we start doing wrongful convictions and all the different injustices in this country, we were promoting up-and-coming artists, and we were trying to change the narrative of the music that we listen to, and that, well, not that I listen to, because I don't listen to it anyway, but what our young people listen to, and the young adults, and you have adults listening to that rap crap as well, it does not promote anything but drugs, sex, and violence. It's the reason why we have so much trouble. It's one of the main causes, and that has to change. And who runs the music industry? Well, Jewish people run the music industry. And Jewish people run the banks, the financial industry. And they have a hold on all of that stuff. They have monopolized those areas. And we have to change that narrative as well, because it's so very sad that our Black kids are listening to this crap, but then still, the adults, the parents, are allowing their children to listen to that music because they, too, listen to that music that we should not even allow our ears to hear, because it's not teaching anything. And I tried to change that with working with artists, trying to get them to write about educational things, write about things to make children positive, and positive rap and conscious rap, and not always, you know, calling the women out of their names. And oh my God, it's just so horrible. And then to see the young girls out dancing and twerking to songs that degrade them, and just, oh my gosh, it's just so very sad the way things are today. But if enough of us start standing up, speaking up, and making a change, we can do that. Why can't we monopolize the music industry and take charge of that? Heck, all of the music came from us anyway, and I don't care whether it's country, from country to rap, all of it came from us. Rock and roll, all of it came from us. And people have to realize that. They really do. I have wanted to play the Be A Voice promo for you guys, but we won't be able to play that. I can't find it. So anyway, I can tell you guys about Be A Voice. Be A Voice, and those of you that follow me on Facebook and all that stuff, you know all about Be A Voice and Right the Wrong Coalition, what we do. We help the wrongfully incarcerated, juvenile lifers. And we try to end mass incarceration and over-sentencing and all that stuff, and other injustices in America, like gentrification and education and, you know, everything, any and everything, because there's so many injustices in this country, and I like to call it the terror of injustice in America. And so we fight for rights, and we all have rights. But you got to stand up. Stand up for your rights, people. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. You can do everything else, but when it comes to fighting for what's right, where are you? So we need your support to keep these podcasts going through the week that I do, and to help expand, Be A Voice, into every city in this country, every major city, every state in this country. We definitely could use your support to keep it going, because, of course, it does take finances. And guess what? Your girl Chinchilla ain't got no more finances to be putting out, y'all, because I done put out and put out and put out for the past few years doing the video cast and all that. And so I need your help on a monthly basis or on a weekly basis. You can donate $1, donate $5, $10, $20, $50, $1,000, whatever you want to donate from your heart. Guess what? It'll be greatly appreciated to keep these podcasts that I do throughout the week afloat and to expand and do everything that we want to do with Be a Voice and bring the rallies to every city that wants us to come. So we need your support. And you can cash at me if you like and show some love. My cash app is $Chinchilla Jonicia. So that's $CHINCHILLAJONESIA. And if you don't have Cash App, I do have Venmo and some other things too. You can hit me up by giving me a call at 844-642-8378. Again, 844-642-8378. Extension 888, Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. I am available, and if for some reason I'm not in your office, leave me a message, and I will definitely get back to you. Or hit me up on Facebook. You can inbox me. Follow me on Facebook at Chinchilla Jonicia. Follow me on Instagram, Chinchilla with one L. And also like and follow Mike MIC Test Entertainment TV's Facebook page. And this coming week on Wednesday, well, I'll tell y'all about that when I come back to give my final thoughts. I'll tell y'all what's going on Wednesday, who's going to be on the podcast on Wednesday and this Thursday. All right. So right now we are going to go into Ngozi time, and then I will be right back at you.
That girl can talk a country mile. I love it. That's why she's been brought here to Oldie Dynasty since December of 2020. So please, please, please support everything that she does, because she's right. It takes money to buy land. We want to thank the Sheeting Action of Cascade for sponsoring our week this week. That's right. Without sponsorship, we're not here either. How about that? It could end just like that. So continue to support Oldie Dynasty. Keep calling in, man, because I always know that people lie, but numbers don't. We talked about a lot of things tonight, and definitely gentrification. I want to say this again very, very deeply. The stadium that's down there in Inglewood, California, that they're about to play Super Bowl 56, it's an egregious situation, egregious. Packed our communities with crack cocaine, guns, gangs. Now, Southern California now is prime land, unless the earthquake hit it again. But it's prime land. So it's like anywhere in your cities, anywhere in your inner cities, whether it's Atlanta, whether it's New Orleans. You see what they did down there, washed away a whole Fifth Ward. That was a Louisiana Purchase Park to do, okay? Philadelphia, you see what's up there. And you go up 125th Street in Harlem. You would not believe it's the same 125th Street in Harlem. Even Bill Clinton had an apartment in Harlem, right across from the Apollo. You see what they're doing to Detroit. Make it look like an urban prairie, about to buy it all over again. It's still the motor capital of the world. In 1965, right before the riots in 67, Detroit, Michigan had the world's most concentrated African-American home ownership in the world. We are not here to blow up the post office. I don't understand. I don't get it. No one's trying to threaten your little country. All we want to do is have our stake and be happy and have our children have great education. No one's trying to take over your government. All we want to do is have a chance to be human beings. Live like human beings. That's what Greenwood is all about in Tulsa. You know, it's funny. We talk about that Greenwood experience. Remember, Oklahoma was not always a state. Black people had ownership when it was a territory where the Native Americans and the Africans lived together in unity and peace and harmony. How about that? But here comes 1916. And it changed everything. Black people knew. It was almost like Armageddon. They knew the crackers that you know, were taking over the state of Oklahoma, they knew that bad things were sweetly dawning. We talk about the race riots of right after World War One, 1918, Red Summer. All those things was the attitudes, okay? And then black folks just came back to Greenwood District in Tulsa, happy, wanting to have their own, wouldn't bother nobody, like my brother said tonight, envy and jealousy. The same type of envy and jealousy that happened to L.A. before the Watts riot. You know, before L.A. was a place where they used to say the Negro can spread his wings. You saw what happened. You saw what happened to Detroit. We talked about a lot of things tonight. And since I'm CEO, here's my editorial. I said this 3 weeks in a row, and I'll say it again this week. The brother said he's out there trying to help the community. But he's just one brother. Now, we don't know what the, how, you know, how his organization is going down. But we don't need organizations. We need to be, like Honey Bunker Toon said, we need to take our mind back. Now, we coordinate taking our mind back and organization. Man, a lot of the foolishness will stop. Used to be rent parties, y'all, where we would help the people in our community. So when came on to talk about the cup of sugar, and the person came out with a five-pound bag of sugar when you asked. Even in my own community, I have people that I've been with in the community for a long time, and we have relations. We are neighbors. You got people that live right down the street that don't even speak. Like, you know, like the good neighbors are going to harm them. That's a problem. We don't have enough block parties. We don't have enough community meetings when you knock on the door and say, hey, I'm the community block captain. We're going to have a meeting. Even if it's about street sweeping. We don't even do that anymore. How about that? We don't even street sweep anymore. Charity starts at home. What is your child doing? Is your child playing too many video games that they can't see something that's coming in the mail when they're grown with their name on it and handle their business? What are you teaching them? Are you teaching them business? Are you teaching them to critically think? See, this is all about, like my brother, the Hall of Famer, said, taking your mind back. And then when you take it back, you have to own it. Because sometimes you take your mind back, you don't even own that. You got to own it. You got to own your responsibilities. This is what News Forum is all about. This is the reason why I hired Chinchilla Jay to be here. Because I know that we need these type of shows on a constant basis. You guys got to understand that Oney Dynasty is fantastic. And, of course, congratulations to Chinchilla Jay. And, of course, she tied me with the sixth all-time Oney Hall of Champions with her 40th all-time. And, of course, Beverly Nation is advertising the Oney, which is on the Belly and Gozi Enterprise. Reach, of course, at www.lookingglassentertainment.wordpress.com, as well as in Gozi Prime Time at bevnet.com. We're in Gozi Time both on Twitter and Instagram. Ola Delly and Gozi Appearance, Google Plus. Ola Delly and Malay, where you go to the Facebook, as well as our business page, News Forum, as well as the historic Beverly Nation Online Radio, established 2013. And any comments, suggestions, or welcome for programming tonight, Ola Delly, that goes with my and gmail.com. Now, Ian, your mother and father's favorite producer, Ola Delly Malay, where you go to saying good night and good luck to all the folks out there in Armed Force Radio that support us on a constant basis. There's no need for the accolades. Y'all know who I am. I'm the greatest. Now, tomorrow night, right here on these Oney Stations, we have this same young lady. And I'd be darned we have any problem with our mic tomorrow night. All right? we went this straight in front tomorrow night because we're celebrating for the ninth time the legacy of the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr., hosted by News Forum anchor Chinchilla J, right here on these Oney Stations. And now, for the next 3 minutes of the program, we're going to give it back to the Sonya Griffin Award winning linear new host of the year 2021, the incomparable Chinchilla J.
All right. Thank you so much, Brother O. Thank you. And yes, everybody, tomorrow night, please definitely call in tomorrow night to tune in to the ninth annual Martin Luther King tribute. Martin Luther King Jr., his tribute. Yesterday was his actual birthday, y'all, January 15th. And I'm so excited to host that tomorrow night. The people that will be speaking tomorrow night will be Tara Strength, Ava Holly, Pastor Kevin Perry, Genesis Amara Smith, Mr. Boston, and Angela Thomas-Smith. They're all hosts on this O&E network. And I would like to thank my guest tonight again, Brother Huni Bakatoon, for being my special guest co-host. Also, I would like to thank Alfonso Henry and Jay Burton. I would also like to thank Vince Moto for calling in tonight and sharing his story in South Philadelphia, and Antonio Batts for calling in as well. And for those of you that we didn't get to, apologize, but try next week, everybody. I'm here every single week, Sunday night, 9:30 p.m. right here, same time, same place. This Wednesday, I invite you to tune in on Facebook for Cries of Innocence from Behind Prison Walls, where we will be having the story of Jay Burton live from prison, telling his story. He will also be my special guest next Sunday, along with Joseph Langdon, talking about BLM prison chapter. Also Thursday, for Nightmares from Behind and Beyond Prison Walls, my special guest will be Curtis Crossland, who was my special guest last week here on News Forum. And then I already covered Sunday. So that's what you have for this upcoming week, everybody. And don't forget, if you want to donate to my work, you may do so by Cash App and me, $Chinchilla Jonesia. Call me, 844-642-8378. It would be so ideal, everybody, if, guess what? I have like over 12 million listeners, and if everybody would donate $1, guess what? We could have chapters all over the country. We could help Pennsylvania Historical Exoneree Vincent Moto purchase that property back from that developer and build a free music school and a community center and other things for the young people in that area to try to curb that gun violence in that area. And there's so much we could do. If everybody donate $1 and you get all the people you know to donate $1, let's help buy that property back. And we need to really start getting it together as a people. This is your girl, Chinchilla. I want you all to be productive on purpose all week. And remember, whatever you do, always be a voice. This is Chinchilla J signing off. Good night.